is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Jesus, Well, praise God. Listen, this morning we're going to continue in part two of our study of the Holy Spirit. I do not have time to review any of last week, so I would encourage you, greatly encourage you, to either visit our YouTube channel or our Facebook page, because we really laid a foundation last week speaking about the Holy Spirit, what He is and what He is not. The Holy Spirit gets a bad name sometimes, right? We talked about the difference between being charismatic and a charismaniac. We talked about the Trinity last week. So we talked about a lot of different things, but I really want to encourage you to watch that if you have not seen it. Now, this morning, the title of this morning's message is The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many know there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit? In Matthew chapter 3, I believe it's in verse 11, where John the Baptist was questioned. He says, listen, I've only come to baptize you under water unto repentance. But there's one that's coming greater than I that I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. He will baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. How many of you have been baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost? So we're going to talk about that baptism here this morning. Now, we wrapped up last week and I kind of gave you this scenario. I says, you know, how cool would it have been if we would have hung out with Jesus, you know, just walking around with him, watching him heal the people and the deaf hear, the dumb are speaking, the lame are walking, he's walking on water, he's raising people. I mean, how cool would have that been for 3 years? But Jesus said that, and it's in John chapter 16, if we could open that up and go ahead and put that up for me, Josh. John 16. And most of our study today is going to be in the book of Acts. So if you want a thumb mark or mark your Bible in the book of Acts, we're going to do a little study through the first four chapters there. I mean, you know, it's good to do Bible study in church. Amen. But Jesus said in John 16, he said, but very truly I tell you, it is good for you, or better for you, that I am going away. Because unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So obviously we know that Jesus has left. He sent the Holy Spirit. So we are living in the better day than it would have been even walking with Jesus while he was alive here on earth. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will ask, this is Jesus speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, and here it is, be with you forever. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit is with you forever? The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him. So don't be surprised, don't be disappointed, don't be upset, frustrated, but the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, Christian, you know him, for he lives with you. Watch this, that's Jesus was living with them at the time, and eventually he will be in you. Are you all tracking with me? All right, we're going somewhere here. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. The Bible says, when the Advocate comes, when the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, so we're going to break that down here in a minute, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, verse 27, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So, in these few verses and throughout John chapter 14, 15, 16, when Jesus is having this dialogue with his disciples, there's a couple of Greek words at play here concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus is almost in these verses painting a picture of a courtroom, of a courtroom. So follow me. When Jesus said, the Advocate, the Comforter whom I will send, the word there, as we already established, is parakletos in the Greek. The word parakletos comes from two Greek words, Para, meaning close to or alongside of, we get our prefix parallel. It means to go alongside of the prefix para. It means to stick closer to us. In other words, that's why the Bible said he sticks closer than a brother. That's why your Bible says he will never leave you, what? Or forsake you. So your parakletos is always sticking to you. He is always with you. So a para comes from two words, para, going alongside of. Kaleo, the second Greek word, is an attorney or a one who makes the final call in a legal sense. In other words, it would be a judge, or in God's case, he is the Supreme Court judge, the Supreme Universe judge. So this parakletos, because remember in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the parakletos is with us. This legal attorney is always with us and always on our side. So in other words, how many of you know the devil in the Bible? He is called the accuser of the brethren. Once again, it's a courtroom scene. So when the accuser of the brethren stands in the courtroom of heaven and declares that you'll never amount to anything, when he says that you will never start that business, your business will never succeed, when the accuser says you'll never go to that school, you'll never get that degree, your parakletos reminds you, here it is, watch, that your legal covenant declares that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is somebody hearing me this morning? So we're in a legal battle, and your legal attorney is going to remind you of what's written in your legal document, your covenant, if you will. When the accuser or of the brethren, the devil whispers in your ear that you messed up too bad this time, there's no hope for you. Listen, your legal counsel reminds you that your legal document declares that if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. When your accuser says there's no more grace for you, honey, no. Your legal counselor tells you, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Are you hearing me, somebody? You messed up too bad this time. No, listen, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. So we have a parakletos that sticks closer to us, that reminds us of everything that is written in our legal document. He is our help in time of need, concerning everything, concerning the graphe, the written word of God, our legal document. I have a question for you. Do you need peace? It's in your covenant. He's there representing you. Jesus said that I've come that you might have peace. And honey, listen, it's not just any ordinary peace. It's a peace that nobody can take it away. The world can't take it away. Do you need healing? The Bible says that our God in his covenant, he says, I am the Lord that heals you. Do you need wisdom? The Bible says, listen, you have not because you ask not. Just ask your legal counselor and receive. Listen, it's all a part of your legal covenant. And here's good news for somebody. No matter what time of day or night it is, when you call on him, you will never get a voicemail. It will never say, my mailbox is full. He will never not return your call. Are you hearing me, somebody? You'll never get his answering service because you have a direct line to Jesus Esquire, also known as the Holy Spirit, and he's always available because we serve a God who neither slumbers or sleeps. It's the parakletos, it's the Holy Spirit. I wish somebody in the house would give our God a praise right there. Hallelujah. So let's look at the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about this a little bit last week, that the Holy Spirit wasn't given to the church just so we could speak in tongues. Thank you. He wasn't given to us just so we shake around. And the Holy Spirit is rarely emotional. All right, y'all listening. Speak, Holy Spirit. Yeah. But let's watch to see what his primary purpose is in John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. We just read this. Let's read it again. Verse 26 says, "When the Parakletos comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he's the attorney that will testify about me." Did you get it? Verse 27, "And you," it's talking about you, church. Shake your neighbor, say, neighbor, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. "You also must testify." You also must be a witness. We're looking at a courtroom here, right? We're a witness. We're testifying. "For you have been with me from the beginning." So what Jesus is saying is the reason that you have this advocate, the reason that you have the Parakletos, the Spirit of truth, is so that we can testify in the courtroom of this world that Jesus is alive. That's what we've been called to do, church. Let me give you an example. Jump over into the book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. It's just a few pages to the right in your Bible, or just a couple swipes if you're using your electronic device. So this is about, let me just set this up. This is just about 40 days after Jesus had just had this teaching with the disciples about the Holy Spirit. So we're moving about 40 days ahead. Now this is the resurrected Jesus speaking in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. Acts chapter 1 verses 8 and 9. Jesus telling his disciples, he says, "But you will receive," somebody say power.
Power.
"You will receive power." The word in the Greek is dunamis. We get the English word dynamite from that word, dunamis. Now, the dunamis is a power that's innate. In other words, it's already in there. So you will receive dunamis. You will receive power when the Parakletos, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So here it is again, church. The primary reason for the gift of the Holy Spirit is to witness to this lost world. It's to point this lost world to salvation through Jesus Christ. It's to point the world to the cross of Calvary. The primary reason is not so that we can speak in tongues. And the primary reason is not, although that can be a part of it, somebody say amen. It's not that we can prophesy. It's not that we can lay hands on the sick and they be healed. It's not that we can cast out devils. Listen, although that is a part of it, I believe in all the gifts for today. But that is not his primary reason. It's not, listen, so that we can live our best life now in material things. Hallelujah. Y'all quiet this morning. The reason for the gifts of the Spirit is so that the world can receive the gift of the Spirit, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. It's one thing when you receive a blessing, the gifts. But how many of you know it's another thing when you receive the blesser, the gift of the giver of the gift. So that brings us to the giving of the Holy Spirit as the promised gift of God that Jesus spoke about. Remember, the Holy Spirit has always been. We established that in Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning. Elohim, God, means a plurality of gods. We already spoke about that. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We established that last week. God in the Gospels, listen, God in the Old Testament, he was with his people. God in the Gospels, he was among his people with Jesus Christ. But today, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and through his blood, God is now in his people through the Holy Spirit and resides in somebody. Somebody needs to say, thank you, Jesus. So let's look at this day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now remember, Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let me back up here just a minute. When Jesus said you would receive power of the Holy Ghost. He said to be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and its uttermost parts of the earth. Meaning that we are witnesses here in McKeesport, hallelujah, greater Pittsburgh, and around the world. Samaria was a place where they hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. So how many of you know God has called us to where the people hate us sometimes? But that's where God calls us. He's called us to be a witness. The word witness in the original Greek word is martus. It means, we get the English word martyr. Pastor Kim said it this morning, just a few minutes ago. We live for Jesus and we will die for Jesus. We looked at a couple of weeks ago and I showed you back in the DRC over in Africa that 70 Christians were beheaded. They died for Jesus Christ. They were given the power. They were given the dunamis. So when Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to give you power to be a witness, he's giving you the power that, because listen, you can't do that in your own strength. You can't do it. It's only by the power of the Holy Ghost. So let's read the first encounter of the Holy Spirit, right? We're in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, somebody say all of them? There were about 120, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So let me just pause there. How many of you know even Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke in tongues? I mean, you could actually say that she was the first charismatic Catholic. Amen? All right, verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them in their own language being spoken. Verse 7, utterly amazed, they asked, aren't these all who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine to drink. They were drinking a wine, but how many know they were drinking a new wine? Amen. Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen, it's only 9. I'm sorry, I lost my place. Hold on, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Verse 15. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is a very key verse here. Verse 17. In the last days. Let me pause there for a minute. The last days, and I showed this to you a couple weeks ago. The last days began right here at the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Remember we did the 6,000 year calendar? So the last days didn't begin at the last election. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some of the stuff on Facebook would just blow your head up. I seen a Christian put this up. They put a picture of a MAGA hat, then underneath it they put Revelation 13. In other words, the mark of the beast if you wear the MAGA hat. And I, you know what? I rarely listen, rarely jump into these things. Rarely. I'm not on Facebook all that much. But I just had to go on, and because it's a girl that I've known since about 5 years old, right? I said, listen, by you putting that out there, you're just revealing your biblical ignorance. That's all you're doing. That has nothing to do with the second coming of Christ. But you see, Christians, amen, we're living in the last days. Listen, the last days didn't begin with Trump. They didn't begin with Obama or Biden. How many may remember Ronald Reagan? Remember Ronald Wilson Reagan? Oh my God, his name, three names, they all have six letters. That's 666. He has to be the Antichrist. He's dead. But how many, listen, I'm trying to show you, saints, don't jump on all this crazy nonsense. Be a student of the Word of God. Somebody help me and say amen. Amen. So the last days began right there, as the prophet Joel said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and he did it on that day. That's when they began. Now, I truly believe, because of my study and time in the Word and watching things, that we are in the last of the last days. I believe that. That's a message for another day. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Some of the women here, Judah, need to shout amen right there. Hallelujah. So this is the day of Pentecost, whereby many of us get our title of our faith. We are considered Pentecostals. How many of you are considered a Pentecostal, right? In this era of denominations, we hear the title Pentecostal, full gospel. It generally means that we believe in not only the giving of the Holy Spirit, but we believe in the gifts of the Spirit are active in today's church, including the speaking in tongues. We believe in all the gifts of the Spirit, as opposed to some other denominations that are referred to as cessationists, that believe that the gifts are no longer active in the church today. Here's my dilemma with that position. These are all spiritual gifts. So I guess that everyone is healed, so we don't need healing in the church today. Does anybody still need healed? So we still need healing. I guess we no longer need the gift of wisdom, because that's a spiritual gift. We no longer need the gift of knowledge, or we no longer need the gift of discernment. I guess we don't need to build ourselves up in the most holy faith by praying in a heavenly language, if that's the position you're taking. Because listen, saints of God, these are all spiritual gifts according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So you cannot say that God has done away with some gifts but not others. You cannot pick and choose. Somebody say amen. Either we have the gifts of the Spirit or we don't. And I proclaim that we do. Come on, who's with me, somebody? Yeah. So this celebration of Pentecost that Jesus told them to wait for actually began about 1,500 years before the Holy Spirit was given, the Feast of Pentecost. This particular day of Pentecost was a prophetic fulfillment. Pentecost, or Shavuot in the Hebrew, was a celebration of the encounter that Moses had with God on Mount Sinai when God gave him the Ten Commandments. In the Hebrew language, it's called the Matan Torah, the giving of the word, or the giving of the law. The Old Testament, we have types and shadows, and they were fulfilled in the New Testament. So as we read the story, the giving of the Torah in Exodus chapters 19 through 32. This is also what the rabbinic scholars consider the birthday of the Jewish nation. Much like our birthday of America, United States, is July 4th. Pentecost is the celebration of the Jewish nation. So at this Feast of Pentecost, the Jews are celebrating two events. One, the giving of the word, and two, the birth of the Jewish nation. Now listen, God could have entrusted anyone on earth with his word. But listen, he chose the Jewish people. He chose the Israelites. He didn't choose any Arab nations. He didn't choose the Hittites or the Jebusites or the Canaanites. Is somebody hearing me? He's given it to the Jewish people. This event, the giving of the word of God, of his Ten Commandments, has set the moral compass for the entire earth. Amen. Because he's God. Because he's God. Nowhere in this world do people just go around killing each other just to kill people. Because there's a law that's written on the heart of every man. Now, there are some progressive socialists that are trying to remove the Ten Commandments from the public square. They want to take them down from the library. They want to take them down from government buildings. They cry separation of church and state. They want to take "In God We Trust" off of your coins and off of your money. So, you know, listen, if you're so mad at your money, give it to me. You don't like, it says God, "In God We Trust" on your cash, especially those Benjamin Franklins. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. I will receive them in the name of Jesus. Listen, they want to remove God from the conscience of society because they desire a secular, godless society. But hear me when I tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Socialist, I don't care how many Ten Commandment plaques you tear down. I don't care how many times you try to remove "In God We Trust" off the dollar bill. You will never remove the Word of God or His Holy Spirit from this earth, because the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Come on, somebody in the house of God. So God could have trusted anybody with His Word, but He chose the Jews. Listen now, watch this. God could have trusted anyone on earth with His Holy Spirit, but He chose you. He's trusting His Word in you. My friend, listen, you did not choose God. Think that through. You are the chosen vessel to carry God's Spirit in this earth today. That's heavy. You are chosen. So this day of Pentecost has changed the dynamic of the world forever, because His Word, His Holy Spirit, is not with us, but it's rather in us. And it travels everywhere we go. Remember last week, we did the little nursery rhyme. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, well, now we're talking about the Lamb of God, so don't mix that up. Kathy had a little lamb. Its name was the Holy Spirit. Everywhere that Kathy went, the Holy Spirit was to go. Listen, we don't put and take off the Holy Spirit when we come to church, when we go to some religious event. The Holy Spirit is with us. He is in us no matter where we go. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Yeah. Now watch this. In Exodus, we see the birth of the Jewish nation. In Acts chapter 2, we see the birth of the Christian nation. And the following 2,000 years, we are still fulfilling Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. If you could throw that up there, Josh. Here's what it says. "It's too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles." Come on, some Gentiles. Are you happy today? "That you may bring my salvation." Where? "To the ends of the earth." Somebody needs to thank God we're grafted into the Jewish nation. Hallelujah. So on this day of Pentecost, God's visitation with Moses in the Bible says that the people had to stay away from God's presence. How many of you remember the story? God's presence was so strong, they had to, remember, Moses had to wear a veil because they were not able to look at God because of their sinfulness. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 18, it says that the smoke covered the mountain and the Lord descended on the mountain in fire. On the birth of the Jewish nation, God descended in fire. Some 1,500 years later, at the birth of the Christian nation, of the Christian church, God also descended in cloven tongues of fire. Only this time, it was the Holy Spirit, and the fire fell in an upper room in Jerusalem with 120 saints up there. However, this time, because of God's grace offered through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, this fire did not destroy those who were consumed by it. They were empowered by the fire of the Holy Ghost. They received the dunamis. They went in, listen, they went into that upper room as meek little lambs. However, they came out as faith walking, tongue talking, devil stomping, culture shocking boldness that only comes from the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes. See, church, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, listen to me, everything changes. Even though you're already a believer, listen, there's another level. I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You receive a new level of boldness. You receive a new level of faith, patience, forgiveness, love, grace, and mercy. You receive a new level of wisdom and knowledge in your prayer and your prophetic life. Acts chapter 8 said that you will receive power to be my witness. Remember, it's martus, a martyr. You will receive power to even die for your faith. In other words, you're fearless to preach the truth of God in love. The 120 disciples were already believers. They were already believers, but there was another level. Let's keep this entire event in context. Remember, this is the Feast of Pentecost. The Jews are celebrating. It's party time in Jerusalem. It's the celebration of the giving of the Matan Torah, the word of God at Mount Sinai. However, on this day of Pentecost, it would be like none other. The first giving of the word, the Bible says that the whole mountain trembled violently. In the upper room, when the Holy Spirit was given, the promised gift was not only the natural earth shaking, but the supernatural world began to shake. I believe when the Holy Spirit fell in that upper room, I believe that every devil in hell was trembling, even Satan himself. They were saying, oh, no, what do we do now? Before this, there was only one Jesus that we had to deal with. But now he's multiplied himself by 120. And I'm here to tell you that he's still multiplying himself today around the earth. Come on, somebody. We are walking around with the Spirit of the living God within us. The Bible says we've been given all authority over all devils all the time. Come on, y'all. That's the dunamis. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, listen, there is no greater transformation. Example of a transformation of a believer in Christ because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit than Peter himself. We see Peter, and Pastor Kim referred to that just before the crucifixion. He denied Christ not once, but three times. He cursed the name of Jesus. Cursed him. Has anybody in here ever dropped a curse word before? So keep your hand down. That's okay. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. But listen, Peter cursed him. But he still used Peter. So I'm trying to tell you, there's hope for you. There's hope for me. However, after the resurrection, we see a remorseful, humbled Peter hanging out with Jesus. So we know that Jesus believed in the risen Christ, but something happened on that day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell and filled him. What once was a coward, even though he tried to play hard when he drew his knife out and cut off a soldier's ear. Now, because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he was willing to go to his own death. He was willing to martus. He was willing to be a martyr because of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, our point here is the Holy Spirit is the primary reason to tell the world about Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Now, for the sake of time, let me just summarize Peter's initial message to the crowd after receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Verses 14 through 45, it's a scathing, confrontational message to the Jewish community. How many know we've been called to be salt, not sugar? In his first message, knowing that these are mostly Jews, Peter builds his case for Christ by quoting the prophet Joel. He quotes the messianic Psalms of David. He does a whole apologetic study, but then he goes on to say in verse 36, watch. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off. Come on, somebody needs to say thank you right there. That was speaking about us. And for all whom the Lord God, Lord our God, will call. Verse 40, with many other words, he warned them. He was a long-winded preacher. And he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Well, how about that for a church growth program? Huh? Preaching Christ crucified. What a novel idea. Listen, the primary purpose for the Holy Spirit is to point the world to Christ. Acts chapter 3. Turn your Bible there. Peter and John heal a lame man from birth at the temple. You're familiar with the story if you know your book of Acts. It's where Peter and John say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. He was healed, and because of the healing, a crowd assembled around Peter, and now the emboldened Peter shares his second sermon. Chapter 3, verse 13, it says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy, righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. Verse 15, you killed the author of life. Come on, Judah. What's my two favorite words? But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this by faith in the name of Jesus. This man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name that the faith has come through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now watch this, verse 17. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance. Come on, how many of us have acted in ignorance in our lives? I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send his Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Come on, somebody, are you thankful today that he's poured out his Spirit on us? Hallelujah. Peter goes on witnessing to lay out his case by using Samuel and Abraham, but for the sake of time, let's jump over to chapter 4, verse 1. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. It says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because of the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus' resurrection of the dead. Verse 3, they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Listen, Peter and John didn't even have an altar call. There was no stadium. There was no loudspeakers. There was no advertisement for a great evangelist coming to town. Are you hearing me, somebody? There was no crusade. There were no ABCs to salvation. Yet the number of believers grew to 5,000 men, which if you add in the women and the children, you had a church immediately of 15,000 to 20,000 people. Because of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ by the dunamis, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did they believe? Here it is. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be willing to die for the God. Listen, that's what relates, that's what communicates the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world, right there. Peter and John received the Holy Spirit. They were witnesses in this courtroom of the world. They were willing to go to prison, which they did, and even death. They were both martyred. John went to the Isle of Patmos, but Peter was crucified upside down just because of their testimony of Jesus. People recognized their boldness, and the church exploded. Let me wrap this up. After being released from prison, Peter goes on to proclaim in verse 12, watch this. Many of you are familiar with this verse. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven whereby mankind must be saved. Listen, he didn't try to make it politically correct or religiously correct. He didn't say that there are many ways. Jesus is one of several ways. No, no, no. There is only one name. Somebody say one name. There is one name under heaven. Come on, what is it, y'all? It's the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can be saved. The people recognized their boldness. The church exploded. Now watch, verse 13. When they saw the courage, when they saw the boldness of the Holy Spirit of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. In other words, they didn't go to seminary. They didn't go to a pastor school. God can still use you mightily without a degree. Come on, somebody. You don't need a degree for the dunamis. This is real good. Now watch this. Watch. Here it is. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. In other words, they're not unschooled. We know they, but we do notice this. They had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. They had no argument. In other words, checkmate, the game is over. The Bible says they were astonished that these were just ordinary, unschooled men. But they did note they had been with Jesus, the living Christ. That's what the world needs to see today. The question is, have we been with Jesus? Have our lives been turned around? Have we been metamorphosed? When people observe our lifestyles, what do they see? Where do we hang out? What's coming out of our mouth? Are we faithful employee or a faithful employer? Have we been with Jesus? When the Pharisees and the Sadducees saw the men standing there with them, everybody knew that he had been healed. There was nothing that they could say. The evidence was overwhelming in the courtroom. Listen, church, Jesus is alive. Here we are some 2,000 years later. The evidence is still overwhelming today through the Holy Spirit. Now's the time to make the decision. Now's the time to put your trust in Christ. My question is, if not Jesus, who? If not now, when? Jesus is still standing here today saying, come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have the Parakletos. We have our legal attorney walking with us in every step of life, continually reminding what's written in this graphe. This is a legal document. It's a covenant. It's an old covenant and a new covenant. This word is true. It doesn't shift for anybody. It never has. It never will. So we have that word. We have the Matan Torah given to us right in our gifts. So it gives us the ability to walk right, to live right, to talk right, that we could be the witness, the martus standing out in the world, because listen, the world is looking for answers. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
We're living in a world today, it's upside down. Even as Isaiah wrote, chapter 5, verse 20, he says, there's a day that's coming when bitter will be sweet, sweet will be bitter, right will be left, left will be right, boys will be girls, girls will be boys. Are you hearing me, somebody? We're living in a mixed up world. I thank God for our youth ministry this past Friday night. They had all the children downstairs and they had to make rainbows. You know, that's it, when we see a rainbow today, come on, what do y'all think of first? Debauchery, sodomy, am I right? But read your Bible. Genesis chapter 9 tells me that my God created the rainbow. And everything that God makes, the devil tries to steal. So they go on and they're explaining the colors of the rainbows. They read out of Genesis chapter 9, telling the children that it is God who created the rainbow, not the alphabet mafia. Little delayed reaction there. But here's what I was telling Gary and some of the others after. It's such a sad day when we have to explain to 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 year olds that, I'm just going to be blunt with y'all, that men don't kiss men on the lips. Women don't kiss women. Come on, are y'all with me here? Women don't kiss women. You have to explain. And to their surprise, because there were some adults there, they were looking at him like, what you talking about, bro? But listen, this debauchery, this sodomy has become normalized. It's status quo. God's word is the truth. It never changes. That doesn't mean that we hate the alphabet community. We don't. We love them enough to speak the truth to them.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you continue to live this lifestyle, you will go to eternal damnation. And the last time I checked my Bible, my God says, I don't desire anybody to perish. So we've been given the Holy Ghost. We've been given the dunamis within our lives, that at the right time that we can speak this truth in love, regardless if we have to die the martus. When you speak the truth, you might lose some friends. You might lose some family. You might lose some church folk. But that's okay. That's okay. We must speak the truth in love, and we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit if you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Are you thankful today for the Holy Spirit that's been given to you, that we could stand up and speak the truth in love? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, put your hands together and stand with me, please. Hallelujah.
Take over, no room for compromise.
proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glory,